Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are talking very specifically right now about an alarm. You know, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. You know, we used to sing that song years ago. And we would sing it like, woohoo! And we were singing, you know, sound the alarm on the whole. And we didn't realize, for whatever reason, that maybe because we're not tall, we didn't get it. Is that was a terrible thing. It was a warning.
Right.
It was a warning. It was,
oh, my goodness.
We were like, dance down the alarm on the holy mountain. It's like,
dude. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And say, oh, my goodness. We've got to, you know. And so the Lord is sounding an alarm. You know, he's telling us. He's warning us. You know, I mean, think about it. If he could just, you know, just go whack, you know, and it's over with.
Yeah.
And, but he does nothing unless, you know, he tells it to people who can hear and repeat what he says, which we call that a prophet. And he does that. So if we hear what he says, we can actually turn before
it happens.
Yeah, before it happens. And so today's wisdom moment, you know, it is the 22nd of the month. And we're going to be speaking on that very thing. It is Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 3, it's very important. This is an accurate word for the warning. It says, a prudent man sees danger. This is the word of God. Now, this is not somebody's, you know, 4 points in the farewell sermon or anything like that. I mean, this is the word of God. So he's explaining to us. I don't know, when you hear about the law, so much of America is just integrated in the Word of God, because you'll hear about the prudent man, and that comes from the Word of God.
Right.
And they talk about, well, the prudent man would do this, or the prudent man would do that, and so we base our law system off what the prudent man would do, you know, which is, you know, a wise man. And he says, the Word of God says, Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Which it looks like to me, first of all, that if we're prudent, then we can actually make some adjustments,
right,
and not suffer. You know, because
right.
it's the simple, you know, or the foolish one that just says, yeah, whatever, you know, we're America, nothing could ever happen to us, you know. But I got my PlayStation 2, my Xbox. What could go wrong, right?
Right, right.
I don't know the power being cut off. Anyway, so he says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Think about it. I mean, just without me even mentioning anything prophetic right now. I mean, if you just pause and you look up from your TV, if you look up from your you know, electric device, whatever's got your attention that you're not looking around, and look around a little bit. First, look at the trees and look at the sky and realize that, you know, that puts us in a place, like Romans chapter 1 says, without excuse, because we can see the invisible qualities of God from what is made. And then start getting perspective. Then look around and notice it's not good. What's happening right now is not good. Secondly, notice that If you're in the Word, and you can get in the Word by choosing to be in the Word of God, you know, not only just hit it every now and then, stay in there with God's Word, abide, you know, go to iabide.org if you don't know how to actually get a good plan. We got a plan for you. But that, you know, there's a storm being fashioned. There's a storm being fashioned. I mean, think about it. You can go to the beach and you could take sand. There's nothing there. But then you can start making a sandcastle out of that. So you're taking the sand, those typical sand that's always there, and then you're fashioning something with that. You're making something from it. And next thing you know, you have a castle. That's there. Might never look like a castle, but you know.
Right.
Then you take clay, you know, and just a block of clay, and you start pushing it around. And, you know, and some people, you know, make... you know, beautiful busts and things like that. I think I made an ashtray. And it was kind of, I don't think it even held that. And so, you know, when you're a kid and you're in school and you're fashioning those type of things. And so, I mean, so you're fashioning something. And what the Word of God tells us that if we, that when he'll begin to warn us and tell us, and our Holy Father who loves us will bring, allow, no matter what they're telling, don't listen to nobody who's not walking or listening, reading, talking to you from the Word of God. And the only way you can find out if they're accurate, if you read the Word yourself, you should compare everything, definitely everything that we say, but everything everybody says to the Word of God. You should be in the Word of God. You should verify Hebrews chapter 12 when he says, you know, consider hardship as discipline. That God, the creator of the universe, is treating you as a son, you know? And think about that.
Right.
And it says, and no father, you know, only a bastard, a fatherless son, is the one who doesn't get disciplined, right?
Right.
King James says. And so, you know, when you're going through stuff, I always say, you know, how are you feeling? I never felt like more like a son in all my life.
Right.
So we got so many hardships going on. And it's a loving father saying, you know, and it might not be because you're actually, something's going wrong. It's just, he's directing you to a different place. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to do that anymore. This is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much easier just to, you know, get that. Because if you misunderstand what God's love is for us, when all of a sudden hard times start happening, the enemy, not only do you have the hard time, the discipline of the Father, then the enemy twists it and said, well, you must be terrible or it must be bad or something. Only thing any father is really wanting is repent.
Mm-hmm.
First go, I was wrong, Dad.
Right.
I was wrong, you know. And you can even be religiously wrong, which may be worse than wrong. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's who Jesus dealt with the most, the religious wrong. And you say, I was wrong. Say it with me. I was. You remember Fonzie from the Happy Day?
He
could not say. It was amazing. Just say you were wrong, Fonzie. Say you were wrong. I'm a you know, and it's just practice it. I mean, if you had difficulty, you know, saying, if you have difficulty humbling yourself, you know, look in the mirror with no moose. You know what I'm saying? With nothing, not all fixed up. Look in your mirror and just go practice. I was wrong. You know, forgive me. I was wrong. And once you get rhythm to it, then you go talk to the people that you've been talking to and been laden, and you go to them and says, I was, and then look down what you wrote down. Wrong. You know, and then that's all you got to do. And then God will just totally begin to restructure everything. And the believers, you know, Christians, a true Christian can relate to how we all make mistakes, and we're all, you know, we can do our best, but sometimes we do wrong. And that's why we have Jesus, and Jesus, you know, did what he did and could forgive us. And start by saying, you know, I was wrong. And somebody was recently talking to somebody, I forget who it was, but they changed their whole ministry, just turned when they realized, you know, and they say, I don't know what that was. And that's a very important thing. I really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to explain whatever that was. Just don't. You don't have to. Why? You know, whatever, you know, this is where we're going. That was wrong. And I'm saying that for one big example is, and we'll be talking more about this, you know, as we're getting specifics in regards to Mormonism, because we have people who are leading God's people, lots of God's people, that are standing up and telling the world, which includes God's people, that this Mormon is my Christian brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're saying that.
Right.
And right now, if you're listening right now, you could think, oh, well, what's wrong with that? Why is he saying that? Well, there you go, right there. So stay tuned in the future when we start talking about it. You know, we don't, you know, I want to get along with everybody, you know, but I'm not going to, there's only one God.
Right.
You know, and when it comes to who's God and who's Jesus to you, that is the ultimate thing right there. And, you know, and I can, you know, we can live together, we can, fight wars together on behalf of our country. We can do all these different things. But in regards to my stand for Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to God. And if me telling you that, you know, offends you, you know, there's nothing I can say about it. I'm not going to not say that, you know. And we have to be, and so I think the worst lie of all, as we talk about, is a religious lie, because when they start using the same names, but a different Jesus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about these things coming. First of all, that's a huge sign. A huge sign is when we have, you know, two people running for office in our nation, you know, and one is a, says that he's a Christian, and that, but all of his fruit says, you know,
He's not.
And he's very not loyal to the teachings of Jesus. He's very empathetic towards those who are against Israel. He himself has stood and apparently, you know, threatened Israel and mm-hmm. his behaviors and things he's doing. And that and empathetic towards a religion that denies Jesus as the Son of God and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, you know. And so that's like, okay, not good. And then the other situation is, oh, great. And I'm not saying that this one is probably a great father, a great man. I mean, just to know him personally, you would think he's just so cool. I mean, he's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, very intellectually stimulating and all that kind of stuff. But when it boils down to God, mm-hmm. we can't, you know, have no differences here. And then we have the other one who's running. This is our two choices.
Right.
Is obviously an astute businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a real great husband and a great father and all these wonderful things. And he's unapologetic towards who he says Jesus is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he's Mormon.
Right.
You know? And that is the hope of a Christian nation right now. Those are the two people that are running for the leadership of this country. And this is the thing that really bothers me, that the church is saying, well, this is good. This is good. It's like, no, that's a sign. That's a sign that we've got to a point right now that we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. And with that, you know, we've been hearing very specific prophetic warnings. When you find out, you know, what, you know, some of these things that you're going to hear, I mean, you're going to hear, you know, very specifically in Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, you know, that those that you can subscribe to VFN TV is a free subscription. You get access to that. And you also can get access to prudent preparation. And that's what we're talking about, you know, the word of wisdom. Mm. You know, how does a prudent man prepare?
Right.
And we have something for you just to begin to stimulate your thought patterns, you know, and begin to think, you know, how do you prepare? And it's not about, you know, hunkering down and you know, all that kind of crazy stuff we've heard in the past. It's just be prudent, you know, be prudent. Well, we are talking about, you know, sounding the alarm, you know, sounding the alarm that God does nothing unless he tells his prophets first. Think about it. Here's Jonah. Jonah did not like Ninevites. He didn't like them. He had all these mindsets about them. They were totally disrespectful to the things of God. They were unholy. They were in all these different sins. And he was right in one sense of saying, well, you don't need to hang around with them because they're not hanging with God, you know, because bad company corrupts good character. Mm-hmm. He was right in saying, hey, their doom is near because God's not going to tolerate it anymore. Because mm-hmm. when God talked to Jonah, he said, listen, I'm fixing to take this city out called Nineveh. But he was wrong in thinking that God didn't love the Ninevites.
Right.
I mean, this is what he tells them. He says, listen, you know, they can't tell their left hand from the right. You know what I'm saying? And you know, think about it. God said this. He says, should I not be concerned?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you, Jonah? Should I not be concerned about them? They can't tell their left hand from the right. And so it's not for us to figure in our own finite minds why God loves people that don't love him at the time.
Hmm.
But he knows that they have a chance. And so Jonah went reluctantly after, you know, after a fish sandwich, after a seaweed wrap.
Right,
you know, he went at the spa. And then he went and went and told them about this. He told them, he said, listen, here's the warning. The warning's coming. I'm going to sound the alarm. And, you know, he's inside him. Mm-hmm. He based on what he's talking about, because
mm-hmm.
he was hoping they didn't listen. Okay, mm-hmm. let me get this out of the way.
Right.
Yada yada. God's gonna knock you off. You're all bad. Da da da. You know, whatever. If you don't repent, and to his surprise, the love of God met a repented people,
mm-hmm.
and God, who fashioned a storm, it was who was going to destroy Nineveh from the face of the earth, that before Jonah's very eyes, his worst nightmare came to pass.
Right.
That not everybody repented, even the cattle fasted. They put like muzzles on the cattle.
Right.
And turned to God and humbled themselves, and God heard, and God changed their plan. His plans.
That's right.
So don't tell me that that's not true. The storm is to turn us to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And for 40 years, you know, the Ninevites, you know, did what was right because one man warned them. And what we're telling you right now, there's a lot of people warning and saying, but take it as a warning. Don't take it as like, oh, that's cool, and be like the ones in Amber's prophetic dream where people just went out and looked at the storm. You looked at the tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's like, oh my goodness, what? Check yourself and see if you're in the faith. Find out if you're abiding with God. If you're not abiding with God, you're not hearing what God is saying. You know, hear what the Spirit says to the church. If you don't know how to, it's not about a Bible study. It's like John talks. It's not about reading somebody's commentary. It's not about reading somebody's sermon notes. It's about you talking with Jesus and Jesus talking with you. Go to iabide.org and request your free, simple plan to do it. And it will help you. And there's wonderful things there to be able to encourage you in that. Well, in this, and you can see the whole dream and vision on VFN TV blog with Brother Kilpatrick. But it basically, all of a sudden, he was standing, and then the earth started shaking, an earthquake. And in this earthquake, it was shaking so much, Pat, that the top plate of his teeth was hitting the bottom plate of his teeth. So imagine it's like, bam, 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 bam. And then all of a sudden, of course, then you're just like, you know, terrified. Oh, my goodness. And you start running. And of all the places, they ran through a school. Mm-hmm. You think about it. What did Jesus deal with the most? The teachers. What were they teaching? You're teaching my people your traditions, your philosophies, while you're setting aside my commands, right?
Right.
And he runs through the school and their schoolhouse, and you know, and it's just horrific, shaking all over the place, and then the next day, and he's out of the dream now. And he leans against his car for a moment or something in a parking lot. And it's almost like he has a vision, and he revisits that very same thing again. And he walked around for a couple of days and maybe longer than that. And he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where it's like you're in it. It's not versus a dream. You know, vision, you're like, you're in it and you're moving around and it's happening to you and that type of thing. And it was, he was shaken, you know, for quite some time, obviously, you know, about that. And then two or three different cities, Spanish names were spoken to him. And when you look where they connect with the Madrid fault line. Yeah, Madrid fault line, which is like right down pretty much the Mississippi and Tennessee and all that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that would just be horrific. And that it was such a huge crack. I don't know if it was his word, but the crack was so huge that all the bridges in the Mississippi and all that, it split. The Mississippi split so wide that the bridges weren't there anymore. You had to fly over to get to the other side.
Right.
And, you know, America's divided. It's divided on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the truth is the church is divided. Marriages are divided. Families are divided. The nation's divided. And this is what the creator of the universe said through his son, Jesus Christ, because he said nothing unless he heard the Father say to do it. He said, anything, everything divided
will fall.
A nation, a kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our home, it just falls.
That's right.
You can't live in a state of division and think it's going to last. God says it don't work.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get united. We're going to have to come together. And sometimes you can't unite with that which does not want to unite with God. I mean, you're going to have to unite. You're going to have to find somebody who's in agreement with God. And give people the chance to be in agreement with God. But once they tell you, no, I don't want to hear what God has to say. I don't want to hear about any prophetic dreams or visions. I don't want to hear about all that kind of stuff. Say, well, dude, you know, or do that. Depends what you're talking about. Leader man. You said, you know, that's between you and God, but I'm going to follow God. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, you prepare. And this is another warning, you know, like we said yesterday with Chuck Pierce, the warning with the earthquake in Washington, D.C. That was a sign letting us know that prophetically spoken was Chuck Pierce. And this is on the VFN TV blog that, that the governments of the world are locked up. They're just kind of stuck, and they really are stuck. You're thinking like, what's really going on? And they are actually stuck because the church is stuck. The church is a religious spirit over the church. And that's what was over, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they just set aside God's commands for their traditions and all. And a religious spirit is that you know, works mentality, and you're, even though it's not in the Word of God, it's not in the Bible, everything comes about that thing, that stuff, you know, and it's not about Jesus, and it's simple words that people aren't encouraged to go, you know, read the Word of God, talk to God, listen to God, do what God says, you know?
Right.
And they don't, are encouraged to go and verify what's being said with the Word of God. And it's just an itching ear moment right now. But the sad thing is that we're going to be itching our ears with no air conditioner soon if we don't wake up.
Yeah.
Things are about to change. And so that's another prophetic warning that's taking place right there. You can see that actually on the VFN TV blog. We have some serious things we're going to share with you in the near future. We don't have a piece just yet, but God has spoken to us about our current president. He showed us some very specific things, and we've been praying for him, I guess, thousands of hours now since then. I mean, we did originally, but then when God showed us some things, you know, that, you know, we always perceive this, Pat, this is what, you know, but, you know, if you don't, you know, you gotta listen to Original Ten of America. You gotta go back and listen to those, because you know, this is a government that's been designed by the people and for the people, which means you have to get involved in it. You can't just sit back and let it happen. And if we sit back and let it happen, we just think, you know, that people, one man just goes, you know, hey, I want to run for president, I want to run for congressman or senator, and he just goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another way, sort of like President Woodrow Wilson, where, you know, he wasn't even thinking about running for president, but somebody that had an idea, what they wanted, the direction of the country to go, they thought big government was the key. They thought that, you know, the Federal Reserve came out of Woodrow Wilson stuff, and the League of Nations, which eventually became the United Nations and after World War II, came from his administration. I mean, a lot of things, you know, came during that time. But he was chosen. He was set up to be president. And so what we're going to share with you is that we're supposed to be praying for our president and his wife and his family. And that, you know, people can get behind you as a political candidate and you don't really realize, you know, what's in their heart or what their motives are, you know, and you sell out, sometimes you're thinking, I got to have votes, you know, I got to have people behind me. I got to have the finances to run for office and these different things. And so they start getting people behind them and they say, well, I got to have this. And so, and that's just for every candidate running. They got to really think about it. You know, I got to know the motives of these people's hearts. And if I'm going to put them, and so you can be set up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to you how the Lord spoke very specifically to someone. We're going to have them on VFN radio so you can hear this. And that we believe that God is showing us from day one that just like Woodrow Wilson, that, you know, Woodrow Wilson was actually chosen first by people who had an agenda, and then Woodrow Wilson made a choice to run for president. Well, run for governor and then, of New Jersey, and then he ran for president. And he happened to be a real good speech giver. I mean, he was a professor, and when he finished giving his lesson plans, his class would stand up and applaud him.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he had that ability to deliver a...
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
I believe what we're going to share with you is going to give you a lot more empathy for those in authority. It's definitely going to give you some empathy for our president and his family, and help you focus your prayers for him. Realize that we talked yesterday that, you know, God holds the king's hearts in his hand. He directs them like an ocean. You need to go back and listen to that. And we need to begin to pray to the God who's holding his heart and every leader's heart in his hand, and get our lives right with him so that things happen well with the heart of our leaders.
Right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow. Yesterday, you can actually find that out on highlights. You're really going to be kind of surprised, but we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. And we believe that God has shared that with us, and we're waiting for the moment to be able to share that with you. But the biggest thing we're here telling you right now, you need to be prepared. You know, a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but the simple keeps going and suffers for it. Something as simple as preparation. And we have, for all VFN TV subscribers, it's a free subscription. You go to VFNTV.com. You can subscribe. And, you know, you just begin to ponder the question. I mean, some of the questions we ponder, which is, you know, I have a different viewpoint probably than somebody who hasn't been in law enforcement before. But you think about it, that when you're having trouble, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, that's the police officers. You know, police officers are called peace officers, by the way, mm-hmm. first, and then we're called bobbies, you know, over in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something. The bobbies are here. And then, so begin to ponder some things. We got to begin to think outside the box. You know, so many people are trying to save America, and they're trying to save things, but our heart is this. We want to save the church.
Right.
You know, we want to wake up a sleeping giant. We want more Christians knocking on doors and building relationships than Mormons and Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We want people to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to build a manger scene right smack dab in my yard, even if the wind flattens it out.
Right.
I'll never forget. It's like, I want a manger scene. I want a manger scene in my front yard. I'm going to put a manger scene right there, you know, and I just quickly got some stuff and we built some stuff and all that stuff. And I appreciate, you know, Pat is helping me out with that and getting it all. And it just looked really, really good. And then the wind came.
It was a hurricane.
Was it really a hurricane?
It was bad. It was a bad storm.
It was a bad storm. Oh, you were trying to justify your building practices.
It was a bad storm.
All I got to say is Mary got bent in two. The thing flattened Mary out and Joseph. The Jesus was smashed with a 4x4. Right. It was tragic. It was tragic, man. It was the adversary.
Yeah.
And so you go out there and it's like, oh my gosh, what happened to Mary? What happened to Joseph? The baby Jesus. And it just kind of flattened out. And that was so funny. And so Mary wasn't bent over like that. That was another story in the Bible, but you know, she has an issue. She's bent over with an infirmity from the
next time.
Yeah, from the stable. From the stable. That was a massive hurricane in December. Anyway, so just be prepared. So we begin to ponder, you know, ponder this. Just ponder it. It's not wrong. You know, when I was a police officer, and those that are police officers can relate to this, and those that are in the military can relate to this. You know, you practice scenarios. You practice scenarios that you imagine if this happens. And then what would you do? How would you react? And that's how a prudent person prepares. You know, I mean, if you see a hurricane coming, I remember Steve Hill with the Brownsville Revival, the hurricane's coming. You know, Power God is moving just powerfully. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just awesome what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so here's the hurricane coming. Here's the hurricane coming. And so he goes out there as a big man of faith, you know. Mm-hmm. And he goes out there on the Gulf of Mexico, and these winds, you know, kind of stirring up, and the hurricane's coming. And he holds his hands out, and he says, I rebuke you, wind or storm or something. And then a big, huge wind goes, whoosh! He runs and jumps in his car and takes off, goes back. You know, and you just prepare for that. You know, mm-hmm. we're used to preparing for storms, you know, in the Gulf Coast region, that when hurricanes come, we put like boards or shutters over the windows and some sandbags up. We think about how we build our houses. Some houses, they were built up on stilts. Yeah, pylons. So it's up high. So the flood, I mean, it's called wisdom. It's a prudent person that's preparing mm-hmm. for possible danger. But in law enforcement, I would go in my district, whatever my district was, and I would drive by and I would look at a store. And I would imagine, okay, this store is being robbed. And then I would think, what would I do? And a lot of stores, of course, I'm talking about, look at little 7-Eleven, Magic Markets, well, I don't know what they call them, all over the place. And so they normally have windows all the way across the front.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to imagine, you can't just go pull up. Oh, it's being robbed. We got somebody at gunpoint. Let me just pull up right in front of the store,
right?
You know, and then get shot. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they shoot at the officer first. I don't know. What is that? What is that?
I don't know. Why is that?
And I used, when I ate in a restaurant, I used to always sit with my back to the wall when I came in there. I had a friend of mine, was an officer, Tony. I'm not going to say his last name. But Tony was eating with Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming out of this particular restaurant, and this you know, legion showed up, this crazy, right. crazy dude. And they grabbed Tony. At that time, Tony was a small man, and picked Tony up in uniform mm-hmm. and threw him, like, over the register.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's not good after you had hot sauce and barbecue, right?
Oh, no.
But Russ was there. You know, Russ is, yeah, he's huge. He handled that. Well, he's
a big guy.
Yeah, he's big bone. And then then he handled the dude and all that kind of stuff. And then we had some great stories to talk about in the muster room. Mm-hmm. But you got to imagine that. You go in there and you sit with your back against the wall because if they come in to rob that restaurant, they're going to shoot the man with the gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And so as a police officer, you'd always sit with your back against the wall. And if you had to eat with your partner or something, you knew your partner was looking out for you, and he would say something like, hey, there's somebody about to shoot us. You know, they would say something. Yeah. Well, I would look at the store, and I would just begin to visualize. Okay, then I would come in on the backside of the store. I would stand behind this dumpster. You know, I would get visual of where the clerk is. And that's called prudent preparation because stores get robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to think about in the context of, you know, as a Christian, you know, it's important. And, I wasn't a Christian when I was a police officer for the first part of my career in law enforcement. But while I was a police officer, and you can find out about that, how that happened, at meetmyfather.org. But I got saved when I was on a midnight shift, which is amazing. So,
yeah, right. Right.
And God just called my name. It was powerful. But when I was a Christian officer and I would show up at a Christian's home, they had no problem me standing up and defending them. Mm-hmm. They would go, there he is right there. Get him. And, you know, we'd take him down, cuff him up, or her down and cuff him up, and we'd take him to jail. There was no problem in the Christian mentality and thinking about it's good for law enforcement to be around to protect us, to keep people from breaking into our homes. Now, here's the other question. When the hurricanes hit, in New Orleans, the police officers had a question to ask themselves. They had asked themselves, am I going to go take care of my family who is in this hurricane, or am I going to stay out here on these flooded streets where people are robbing stores? One of those people was the police. Anyway, so,
yeah, right.
And many of them just left. And mm-hmm. so there was no law enforcement because they have families too. I mean, if there's something happening bad in your community, you know, and if the officer wasn't prudent in preparing for his or her family to be able to take care of them, they're going to be caught in a dilemma. They're human beings. They have a right to protect their family, and they may have to go to their family first and make sure they're okay, which means you're going to be alone with a condition that previously that you had a law enforcement officer to be able to be there with you because he or she had to go check on their kids and get them out of school and that type of thing. And by the way, if in fact you are friends with any law enforcement and anything happens in our country, you know, talk to that officer and say, is there any way that I can help you? Because I know if a storm hits, if something hits that's tragic in our country, you're going to be one of the first responders out there, including EMTs and firefighters. And talk to them about how you can help them out because their kids may be getting off the bus in about 15 minutes. At the same time, they have something going on in the city. And you could say, I will get your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I will make sure your kids are right. You can call me to see if your kids are. I mean, simple things like that. It's time for America to be there for each other.
Right.
Definitely it's time for the church to wake up and be a light in the midst of all this. So what I'm getting at is, so you nobody had any problem with me showing up with a gun, with a taser, with a nightstick, which is PR-24 type thing,
mm-hmm.
A police car that had a cage basically in it,
mm-hmm.
and keeping a criminal from hurting them. Or breaking into their property. Now, this is the question you have to ask yourself as a Christian. The Second Amendment allows you, as a citizen of America, the right to bear arms. So just like that officer, you know, if you're not a convicted felon, mm-hmm. you can actually bear arms. And it's not just for hunting, you know. I encourage you, if you haven't become a member of the NRA, become a member of the NRA. It costs you like $20 a year, but they educate you on the Second Amendment rights. It is the most intense organization that's ever been about a particular amendment. We need somebody to focus on the First Amendment the same way, but the Second Amendment, and you have the right to bear, bear arms and to protect yourself. And so here you are, you know, what are you going to prepare? You know, what do you do as a Christian? Because then you have, you know, you got to ponder personally, you need to begin to make a decision. And it talks about more things than just this, but it's just some of the thoughts about that, that, you know, am I going to let my family, you know, I think about, the father's hand in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I think about the Lashbrooks, you mm-hmm. know, think about Keith and Cindy and what they were going through down there, because they had somebody that broke into their orphanage in Haiti, and they were robbing them, trying to rob them. Mm-hmm. They were attacking their children. They put their throat on Keith's son's foot, on Keith's son's throat, Daniel, which, you know, I hadn't got a chance to spend any personal time with Daniel, but Jared did, my son. He spent, you know, time down in Haiti, and he seems to be a real cool dude. I really like to meet him. And I had spent time with Keith and Cindy. Anyway, so here, you know, here's this man. He has a family. He has a ministry. He has a home in Haiti, and they're robbing them. They got him at gunpoint. They're abusing them, you know, and you have to ask the question, what do you do? Do you turn the other cheek? You know, if they come in and punch your wife on one side of the cheek, do you say, honey, turn the other cheek? Yeah, man, you got to think about it. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? And Ecclesiastes says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for certain things, seasons for things. Mm-hmm. And the Christians that came to America and fought for America, it was gruesome what happened to be able to have the freedom that we have today. Our troops that fight for our freedom and maintain freedom in different places around the world, it's gruesome, mm-hmm. some of the things they have to go through and the prices that families have to pay. It was no problem for us as Christians, when a Christian officer would show up, or a non-Christian officer, but just say a Christian officer, mm-hmm. that he would pull his gun or pull his weapon out, and he would say, stop and arrest people. So think about it. You got to ponder this. Is it okay? Is it okay? And you're the only one that can answer this, and you got to go how God is leading you, and you need to educate your family and your friends how you're going to pursue that. But according to the Second Amendment, it is legal for you to possess firearms, to protect yourself and to mm-hmm. defend yourself. Every right. state, and there's a lot of states and other nations that are hearing us right now, but in every state has their own laws, you know, what you can do and what you can't do. And you need to find out what those laws are and abide by those laws, but understand that you have a right to protect yourself. You have a right to protect your family, and you got to find out, what are you going to do that? You know, what effort, what energy are you going to put forth to do that? Are you just going to say, listen, you know, if the hurricane comes, we're not going to board the windows. If the flood comes, we're going to put anchors on our feet to make sure we drown.
Yeah.
You know, if my wife gets punched on one side of her face, I'm going to tell her, honey, turn the other cheek. I mean, and I don't believe that's what the Lord will say in the context of that, because the first time he sent his disciples out, he sent them out, he says, take nothing for your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And once he taught them and they understood that he would be there for them, he sends them out again. He says, this time, take your coat, sell it, and buy a sword.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, arm yourself.
Right.
You know, and it's not wrong to defend yourself. But I remember one Christian officer. He was a trooper, and he was on the interstate. That's a real tough. You're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, pulling people mm-hmm. over. And this guy was reaching in his glove box. He had a gun in the glove box, and he said, "Don't do it." He's from Georgia. He's like, "Son, don't you pull that gun out?" He's like, he goes, I'm going to do it. He says, don't do it, son, don't do it. He goes, something else. And the officer goes, do you know Jesus? If you don't, you're about to meet him. So he was witnessing in the context of exercising his authority,
yeah, right?
Right. You know, two evangelists, you know, one to win you and one to sing you. Just I want to encourage you. These are serious thoughts, because we lived in such a blessed land that, you know, you could just send your kid to the store at one time. There was not a big deal that would happen. But now you have people that are getting nervous. They're getting scared. They're losing their jobs. I mean, we have a huge entitlement type provision that's happening in this country. So some people have never, ever, 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 ever got a job. They've never worked, and they were dependent on something coming in every month. And if that stops coming, you know, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do if all of a sudden that the that month's check does not come?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, what are we going to do? Because a lot of places that are dependent on that kind of bondage, I believe that the enemies use that to put them in bondage. And our desire is to empower them and to show them that they can have their own business and they mm-hmm. can be set free. We've seen that. I know somebody right now I'm thinking about that they were in that predicament, and I told them, I said, listen, you're going to have to cut that off to be able to trust God and go. And it was a big thing for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut it off, and immediately God blessed them with their own house.
Yeah.
And has blessed them with so many wonderful things. Uh-huh. And even a brand new house later on at half the price.
Half price.
And God gave me a dream
mm-hmm.
and sent me to a meeting I never would have went to
mm-hmm.
and reminded me of the dream. And I brought up the word of God, what God was saying. And they literally built a house for this man for half the price just so that he could move in it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
But he first had to cut off the bondage.
That's right.
In a government support, no, it's not wrong. It's not what I'm saying. But they're telling you that you cannot go out and make more than this amount of money if it's not a stepping place where you can, it carries you for a season. It just, you know, or it says you can't be married. You can only be a single mother. And that promulgates, you know, single parenthood, because if she marries, then she can't have this kind of support. That's bondage. You should be able to be normal, and it should be there to help you out and empower you to be all that you can be out there. But what's going to happen when these things stop? You know, what's going to happen when somebody can't afford their power bill?
Mm-hmm.
You know, immediately when the heat waves come in, you know, we have to really watch out for the elderly because they cannot handle a lot of heat. Well, if there's no electricity,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? There's so many things to think about. So prudent preparation is available. Prudent preparation is available for you as a VFN TV subscriber. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe. You will see some parts of VFN TV that are available for you right now. You don't have to be a subscriber. But there's so many things back there, such as, you know, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You got to get a perspective. You're going to be blown away when you find out what's really going on. So if you watch that first or listen to that first, when we release this word of knowledge and this prophetic word about our leader and how we have to be, as the church, we have to understand that God is fashioning a plan. God loves Nineveh, and we'll just release that at a specific time. It's very important, the timings that we release that. But and it's really neat. I get a chance to be able to sound the alarm. I sound the alarm. You have the opportunity. You know, the person, a prudent man, sees danger. It prepares for it, but the simple just keeps going and suffers for it. Listen, why suffer? Think about it. Why suffer? Why not just go ahead and just begin to ponder the idea of preparing for it? We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can employees have religious material in open view in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a problem at work. I had a sign up on the wall that said, Jesus is Lord. While I was on vacation, they took them all down and said that I can't do that anymore because it's illegal. And I was just wondering what I can do, because I don't want to stop working there. I just want to be able to display my First Amendment rights.
Sometimes these employers will react because they think if they allow a religious sentiment to be kept up in the workplace that they're creating a hostile work environment, and that's simply not true. The fact that someone, a coworker, doesn't share your religious beliefs is not a basis upon which your religious beliefs are then censored. Now, the employer is given a lot of discretion. I mean, they could say, we only want work-related material up in an office. They have the right to do that. Let me refer you to aclj.org. Great information on our website, and really should be very, very helpful to you at work and get those answers resolved for you.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream and he began to share it. And of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up, church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I had a chance to go. Remember, John, when you got a chance to come down and we went to a restaurant on the island, flounders. And they no longer sell that chowder for a nickel or a dime anymore.
Are you kidding me?
No, it is like, and it's only give you one bowl of it.
How much is it now? Like 25 cents?
No. It is.
That was some good chowder, man.
It wasn't it?
That was
and you're
very,
not a,
very
you're not
good.
A chowder eater.
Say it again?
And you're not even a chowder eater.
I am not at all. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and I didn't mind blowing the 5 cents.
You're such a big spender.
You know how it is. I even said, give them another one because it's free at that point.
Right.
But now it's still good. It's $3 or something a bowl, which is typical, you know, prices. But once you've done it for a nickel for 20 years, it's okay. Donna had a chance to go and have the seafood nachos.
Mm. Oh, you like that.
The seafood nachos. These seafood nachos they give you, it's like nachos, I guess, you know, Mexican food has that too, mm-hmm, right? Nachos right. things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nachos. Every American goes, of course.
Hey, you know, those nacho things, you know.
You know, the nacho things.
You know. These are like nachos on steroids.
I mean, they really are. They really are. I'm trying to actually find it here. I can't find it. But the it was so huge. When they brought this thing to our table, it was so big that people came over to our table to take pictures of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
See, right? It was dripping with a heart attack, like cheese dripping off of it.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, so these people got up from their table. And
it's a mountain.
See it? And then, and it's got fish in there, you know.
It's got crab meat, shrimp.
Right.
It's really, really good.
And so with that, you know, we kind of hacked at it for a while.
That's a meal by itself.
It's total meal by itself. And that's what we're
doing. You ate the whole thing?
Oh, no. You got to see this. Make this available for everybody to see this. You're not going to believe how huge this thing is. And so they're coming over and snapping shots. So if you happen to see me on somebody's Facebook of flounders, it's because I ordered a mountain called a seafood nachos. And so when we got done, you know, hacking at it for a while, taking a chip here and there and that type of thing, we asked the waiter, could you bring us a to-go box, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you feel guilty leaving this much food. It could feed a third world nation.
Right.
And with that, people were thinking, okay, we just need a bag. We need something to be able to carry this away with. And so it's so much. Now, we ate at it for, this is our meal. We're eating at this thing nonstop.
Right.
And he brings us an entire cake container, a disposable cake container that to put it in. It's just so much to it. This is after we ate on it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, you know, I don't think I want another nacho.
Yeah, right.
And the fish is like, okay, I don't want any more fish.
It's coming out your
nose. Had jalapenos and cheese and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was so big. I'm telling you, it was so big. There was so much in the leftover that we ate on it. And we took it out in a cake box, and we wanted to put it on the seat of the truck so that it wouldn't, you know, that, you know, you want to take it back with you. You got to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was so big. We thought we're going to have to seatbelt this puppy in. See it?
Oh my goodness.
We had to put it in a seatbelt. We had like a little child restrainer seat. It was so much left over.
Wow.
That
y'all didn't eat much at all, my goodness.
No, we did. We ate and ate and ate. Wow. It was like, I don't even want to see this anymore. But then we felt like this could feed a third world nation. We better take this back.
Was that 5 cents too?
Oh, no. I don't know what it was. $10. It was $10.
Well, that's not bad at all.
I know. Compared to Jersey prices, that's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, but look at that. I mean, it was so big. I mean, isn't it? It's right there. It's in this. You got to see this. Make this available. Like,
unbelievable.
It was so big. So if you get a chance to come to the island, the Pensacola Beach Island, which is on the Gulf Coast, get a chance to go to that 5-star restaurant, which is beautiful. It's just beautiful sands
right
and
on the
scenery
beach.
On the beach, and they're playing volleyball, and you just got these just beachy, you know, something. Yeah. Probably if you went to Mexico on a cruise to Mexico, that's probably what you would see, a beach, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and they'll bring you 7,000 pounds of nachos and fish. And when you walk away from that, you can feed a third world nation with what you got to put in the car and put a seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was huge. I can't wait for you to see that. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch and check that out. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have a entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.